Mr. Speaker, I wish the members of this House to understand the position that I take. I hold that I am a member of this body. Therefore, sir, I shall never flaunt or cringe before any party nor stoop to beg them for my rights. I am here to demand my rights and to hurl thunderbolts at the men who would dare to cross the threshold of my manhood. The scene presented in this House today is one unparalleled in the history of the world. Never in the history of the world has a man been arraigned before a body clothed with legislative, judicial, and executive functions, charged with the offense of being of a darker hue than his fellow men. It has remained for the state of Georgia in the very heart of the 19th century to call a man before the bar and there charge him with an act for which he is no more responsible than the head which carries upon his shoulders. The Anglo-Saxon race, sir, is a most surprising one. I was not aware that there was in the character of the race so much cowardice or so much pusillanimity. I tell you, sir, that this is a question which will not die today. This event shall be remembered for prosperity for ages yet to come. And while the sun shall continue to climb the hills of heaven, we are told that if black men want to speak, they must speak through white trumpets. If black me Once their sentiments expressed, they must be adulterated and sent through white messengers who will quibble and equivocate and evade as rapidly as the pendulum of a clock. The great question, sir, is this: am I a man? If I am such, I claim the rights of a man. Why, sir, though we are not white, we have accomplished much. We have built up your country. We have worked in your fields and garnered your harvests for 250 years. And what do we as asked of you in return? Do we ask you for compensation for the sweat of our fathers they bore for you, for the tears you have caused and for the hearts you have broken and the lives you have curtailed and the blood you have spilled? Do we ask retaliation? We asked it not. We are willing to let the dead past buried is dead, but we ask you now for our rights.
The orthodox texts in American history pay much attention to what was called a splendid little war, the victory of the United States in the three-month-long Spanish-American War of 1898. But these texts slide quickly over the bloody conquest of the Philippines that went on for years, which President McKinley said was necessary to civilize and Christianize the Filipinos, and which Theodore Roosevelt hailed as the newest outpost of the American empire. Roosevelt loved war and militarism, and when the army massacred 600 Moros on a southern island in the Philippines in 1906, Roosevelt congratulated the commanding general. Here is Mark Twain's response.